Without further ado, from Stillwater Sciences,
thanks.
So, Advance and Pointer.
Thanks, Mary, and thanks to Caltrail and Eagle River Forum for putting on this important event. I think we all have a lot of momentum, so it's good that we're doing this now. So I really wanted to just give you a kind of a high-level overview of this ongoing project that we're in the process of conducting to better understand abundance, diet, level of impact on native species, as well as evaluation of potential suppression methods in the South Fork Eel River. This is a collaborative project between Stillwater Sciences and the Yaak Tribe Natural Resources Department. The impetus for this project really kind of initiated in the context of thinking about the factors that were limiting the lamprey population. We've done a lot of work on lamprey, and we started seeing a lot of pike minnow during the surveys and started realizing that lamprey actually overlap with pike minnow to a much greater extent than the salmonids that we've been focused on. But that said, we are very interested in their impact on salmonids as well. So today I just want to bring you guys up to speed on where this project stands and kind of what our scope is and what our methods are, and then take this opportunity to kind of help foster collaboration between the different groups that are currently doing studies. So our first project objective is to improve our understanding of the pike minnow population size, diet, what are they eating, and the degree of impacts on different native species focusing on the South Fork Eel River. And like I said, our focus is on lamprey and also steelhead due to the higher degree of overlap. And also our permitting and sampling constraints are really going to be primarily in the summer when Chinook aren't going to be around and coho aren't going to be overlapping with pike minnow. And then secondarily, we are wanting to develop and evaluate a suite of approaches to better understand, you know, which approaches are successful at both monitoring and suppressing Sacramento pike minnow. Our study area is approximately 120 kilometers from the Rattlesnake Creek confluence down to the main stem of the Eel River. That's about it on that. So our project tasks are, and I'll go through each of these in more detail in a minute. Starting out, we're reviewing and synthesizing all the available information on pike minnow and the eel, and also suppression approaches, and including a lot of the work that Brett and others have done, and that's being discussed today. And then second, we are estimating the pike minnow abundance in the South Fork Eel River study area, and that was completed in last summer in 2018. And third, develop and test approaches for pike minnow suppression. And then with the information from tasks 2 and 3, we're going to attempt to estimate the population and level impacts of Sacramento pike minnow predation on our focal species. And then finally, we're going to wrap all that together into what we're calling a pike minnow monitoring and control plan. So for the first task, we conducted snorkel surveys in summer of 2018. We used the existing California Department of Fish and Wildlife coastal monitoring plan reaches as our sampling frame, starting downstream of Standish Hickey, sort of recognizing that Eel River Recovery Project was going to be doing census surveys in that reach. And so there were 58 reaches in our sampling frame, and we used a GRITS approach to randomly select 12 reaches within that frame. And then surveys were conducted from July 5th through August 8th periodically. We did single pass daytime snorkel surveys working from downstream to upstream, typically 2 to 3 divers. And we sampled all diveable waters at each of those reaches, which were approximately 1 to 3 kilometers in length. And Let's see, we recorded for each reach, we sampled kind of at the habitat unit scale, and we recorded, you know, the GPS, the length of the habitat unit, max depth. And then we recorded all of the pipe minnow larger than 100 millimeters and broke them down into these size classes. And then finally, we recorded observations of other species, particularly focusing on Omicus, because we want to sort of better understand their summer distribution as that relates to our upcoming suppression efforts to avoid impacts on Omicus. Oops. So these next couple slides are some preliminary results from our 2018 snorkel surveys. This chart just shows you the number of pipe minnow that we counted in our entire, the 12 inches that we sampled by size class. And then these tables to the right are our population estimates for the entire 105 kilometer study reach by size class. So you can see we had approximately 28,000 100 200 millimeter fish, about 7,000 200 to 300, 3,000 300 to 450, and then almost 1,000 greater than 450. And 450 is 18 inches.
Where is that expanded reach again?
All the way up to Standish Hickey, okay. So about 105 kilometers. and so the fish, this other table just shows you the same data standardized by density fish per kilometer. And then these two tables kind of show the spatial distribution. These are the x-axis here shows you the river kilometer by sample reach. And so starting down here at the mouth of the Eel all the way up to about Standish Hickey. And I just broke this up into sort of broader size classes, less than 300 millimeters and greater than 300 millimeters. You can just kind of see the spatial distribution. You know, there are definitely hot spots for the small fish, and it seemed like they're generally more dense in our further upstream reaches. And with the larger size classes, they were basically relatively abundant everywhere with a few kind of high outliers. So we're gonna definitely report on all of these data in more detail in the near future. This is just kind of preliminary look at it. Okay, so our third task for this project was to develop and evaluate these suppression approaches. We're in the process of kind of figuring out exactly what we're going to do this summer, but our primary goal is to identify the most feasible and cost-effective approaches for reducing pipe minnow predation on native fish. And so some of the things we're going to test are boat electrofishing, seining, fight netting, and potentially some other net types. Baited fish traps, we've got these big, basically 1 meter cube fish traps that we're gonna try in some of the deeper pools to see if there's any, if they're successful. We've decided to omit spear fishing from our permit request just because we kind of received word that that probably wasn't going to be a viable approach for permit. From a permitting perspective, but we really ultimately wanted to use spear fishing to selectively target pike minnow in the reaches where they overlap with juvenile steelhead. So instead of using spear fishing, we're going to attempt to do some night snorkeling with dip nets, which has proven a successful technique in a number of other situations. So we're excited to try that. And then finally, and importantly, various combinations of methods, really trying to think outside the box. So for example, when we do our electrofishing trials, we're planning on setting a net kind of like this, a large fight net, at the downstream end of our electrofishing reach. So any fish that we're pushing down through the habitat unit are potentially going to be captured in the spike nets. So for each of these approaches, we're going to objectively evaluate them in terms of catch per unit effort and also sort of an estimate of cost per fish killed. And then, of course, we're using hook and line primarily to capture fish during the wet season when we can't get permitted to do these other approaches. And we'll hear more about the Trojan Y in a minute. So taking our results from our population estimates and also from the diet information that we collect. I think I skipped a slide. Okay, here we go. For each of these suppression trials, we're going to count, measure, and weigh and euthanize all the pike minnow that we capture. We're going to take a subsample by size class of the gut contents to do direct diet analysis. We're also planning on collecting muscle tissue for isotopic diet analysis, which was kind of an afterthought, but we need to get funding for the laboratory work for that part of the project, because I think it has a lot of potential to kind of expand the scope of inference in terms of the diet direct gut sample gives you sort of a point in time snapshot of what fish have been eating, whereas the isotopic diet analysis allows you to look at sort of what contributed to the muscle tissue in the fish over a longer time period, so more like 2 weeks to a couple months. We are also collecting scales and otoliths for age analysis, which I think we all agree is an important analysis that needs to be done. And so if anybody has any ideas on funding that or is interested in doing that work, let us know. For the boat electrofishing, our plan is to do that primarily in the lower 70 kilometers downstream of the East Branch of the South Fork. Our snorkel surveys and work by others has indicated that juvenile steelhead basically drop out below the East Branch of the South Fork. And we'll probably actually err on the side of going even further downstream. The river gets warmer as you move downstream, and therefore the salmonids drop out. And we're also going to snorkel each habitat unit that we sampled prior to conducting the electrofishing to make sure that no salmonids are present. And we're also going to use the snorkel information to from this coming summer, we're going to snorkel prior to doing e-fishing, and we're going to do free pass depletion estimates and try to estimate snorkel observation efficiency with that information to better support, were we counting all the fish during our snorkel surveys or not. And hook and line is primarily to capture fish during the winter. So yeah, taking all of our diet data and also our population data, we're going to do some analyses to better understand diet in terms of number of fish eaten by each size class of pike minnow in the different seasons, and then also calculate total number of prey consumed by using our population data. And we're also going to be using a bioenergetics model to kind of dive deeper into that question and understand, how, given the population size, how many prey fish are they eating to maintain that population size and biomass? So that's still under development, but we're hoping that's going to allow us to look at different suppression scenarios as well. Like, how many fish do you need to take out in order to have a population level impact? Yeah, and so like I said, we're going to synthesize all the information from this study into kind of a monitoring and control plan. We'll evaluate the likely population level impacts on pike minnow, assess the level of control that's needed and the cost to have a meaningful impact in terms of increased production of our target species. And then make specific recommendations for monitoring population control in South Fork Eel based on what we learned. And finally, kind of discuss how what we learned in this study could be expanded to other parts of the Eel River Basin, including Potter Valley Project affected reaches. And with that, I last night just kind of threw together some thoughts and some conclusions. We definitely, our snorkel surveys definitely verify that there are a lot of pike minnow in the South Fork Eel River. And they appear to be really the dominant fish biomass in the reach that we studied. And because of that, they have a potentially large impact on native fish, which is why we're here. But we think there's really more work needed to better quantify that impact. And I think Brett and others touched on this earlier, but we shouldn't overlook the ecological impacts of the smaller size glasses. A lot of the focus is on the big 18-inchers, but these smaller size glasses are really abundant, high biomass. They're competing with the native fish, and they're potentially eating lots of small fish, and not to mention, a lamprey amacete might be the perfect prey item for a small pike minnow. So I don't think we should overlook those. And then kind of some conversation that maybe we'll get into today, but we really didn't go into this thinking that there's any hope that we're going to eradicate the pike minnow population. It's really a matter of suppressing them and figuring out how much effort it would take to suppress them in order to have tangible impacts on native fish. And then, understanding what is the cost that it would take to suppress the pike minnow population to a level that actually increases fish production, and how does that compare to the amount of money that's being spent on habitat restoration and having that conversation about should we be considering this? We really consider suppression as kind of a stopgap measure to help these fish while all the ongoing restoration is kind of coming to fruition. And then finally, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but we were trying to think outside the box, and we realize there's been a lot of really good work done and a lot of effort to evaluate different suppression approaches, and we're going to build on what other folks have learned and try to, take that to the next level. So, I'd like to thank U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Tribal Wildlife Grant funded this work, and folks who helped with field data collection and a number of people that have assisted with project support and input and expertise as we've developed this project. If you're interested this summer, we're still kind of working out the details on time frame, but it's probably going to kick off in July. If you have any interest in helping out with some of these suppression trials, contact myself or Eddie Koch. Just to reiterate, we think this isotopic diet analysis and also the aging analysis is important, and we need some funding to help support that if you have any ideas. And with that, if there's time, I'll open it up for some questions.
I have just one quick question.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. What do you mean stopgap measure rehabilitation efforts come to fruition? What did that mean?
Well, basically, there's a massive effort amongst the fisheries and restoration community right now to restore salmonids across the North Coast and in the Eel River.
And that's different than the last 30 years in some way?
Yeah, I think it's evolving. I mean, that's a whole huge conversation, but I think there's been a lot of improvement in our approaches and understanding of restoration, habitat restoration. But this, what I meant is that a lot of that work, it takes time for the fish to respond, for the habitat to respond. Ideally, if we had a healthy ecosystem and healthy habitats, the sort of relative impact of the pike minnow would be less. The population could withstand the impacts of the pike minnow if the system was healthier.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.